Glory to God. This morning we're going to continue and conclude with the theme that we've had for the last couple of weeks, which is, what is in your eye? So today is part three, what is in your eye? Let me just do a brief recap. You may want to turn in your Bibles now to Numbers 13 and 14. The book of Numbers, if you have a church Bible, is page 133. What is in your eye? And last week we concentrated on the 12 spies who went to spy out the land of Canaan. 10 saw just giants, and they were intimidated by them and said, hey, we're going to be gobbled up alive if we go there. We best not go. But 2, whose names we remember, Caleb and Joshua, actually saw challenges but opportunities. And they had faith. They believed God. They were going to possess this promised land. They were going to take Canaan. They had faith, Caleb and Joshua. 2 men of faith saw the problems, but they saw them as opportunities for God. And we said last week we felt that the Lord was challenging us individually, but also as a fellowship, about allowing circumstances and having a mentality that would keep us small and small-minded. And we felt the Lord was really challenging us. And we spoke of the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, didn't we? When he says, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Not by political power or means, not by military might, not by our own strength, nor by our natural wisdom, not our limited resources, but by the Holy Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I know that one or two folk believe that the Lord was really speaking to them last week and helping them to address issues in their lives. And we're thankful for that, because if God is speaking, we respond. Hey, it means we're in his purposes and in his will. Glory to God, however challenging that may be at times. And what we also said, it is possible in our individual lives and as a church to allow attacks and pressure to put us and keep us with a bunker mentality. To put us into a bunker mentality. In that, I felt it was a bit of a prophetic song which came this morning. It says, Lord, take the scales from our eyes. Take the scales from our hearts. And I think that's because if we have a bunker mentality, our faith withers. It sort of dries up, doesn't it? We see the challenges, we see the problems, and then we listen to our doubts. We allow fear to take a grip, virtually paralyze it. We've all been there at times. The leadership has been there at times, but it then possesses us. And we lose sight of God's provision. We lose sight of who God is, how great he is, and what he has provided for us to receive by faith. And then we hold on to what little we've got in case we lose even that little, rather than receiving what the Lord has for us. A poverty spirit can so easily control us. A couple of weeks back, or 3 weeks back, we looked at the account in Kings, did we not? And about Elijah and his servant boy. And, you know, the Syrian army were encamped all around them. And it was obvious they were there. You couldn't deny the army was there. And the little boy, or the servant boy, was full of fear. He saw the army, he was intimidated. And wherever he looked, he just saw the army. And hey, there's no hope. might as well give in or run away. But if he ran away, they'd capture him. But Elijah actually saw something far greater. He saw the army of the Lord encamped around. He saw the heavenly host. He saw God. He saw the angels. And he said to the Lord, open his eyes. Open his eyes. And the Lord did. The heavenly host were there. What is in your eye? What is in my eye? You know, we can be like the servant of Elijah, who only sees the Syrian army. We see the enemy encamping around us. We may see our shortage of money, our limited resources, the unfairness of life at times. And we can act, church can act like a natural person, as if we didn't know the Lord. We can. But the Lord doesn't want us to have a spirit of timidity, does he? He doesn't want us to have a spirit of fear, but one of courage. And if I went round the congregation this morning and asked each one of you, every one of you, I am certain, would be able to give me and give everyone examples of where you came to the limit of yourself, look to God and he appeared. You put your trust in. That encouraged you. That blessed you. Whereas you look back and see how God has provided. As we as a church look back and see how God turned up. Because he displayed his power when we were just weak. Then that would bless us. And we shouldn't be like the Israelites who kept looking back to Egypt and wishing they were there. Instead of trusting God, who had so wonderfully provided manna, provided water from the rock, God so blessed them. Yet when they saw challenges, they felt like giving up and they were in the blame game. We can do that as well, can't we? Faith means we step out of our own resources. We look beyond our own power and move into the wonderful, flowing, living stream of his provisions. What is in your eye? Are you seeing the armies of Syria or the army of the heavenly hosts? You see, like Caleb, we need a different attitude. We need a different spirit. Caleb had a different spirit. He had a different attitude. In Numbers chapter 13 and verse 30, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. But Caleb said, we will go up at once and take possession. Adversity is prosperity to the person who possesses a good attitude. Adversity is prosperity to the person with a great attitude. Adversity is prosperity to the church who has good attitude and vision. Consider the kite. The harder the wind blows, the higher it flies. Child of God, your attitude will either lift you above your circumstances or bring you beneath them. Your attitude, how you're trusting the Lord, will either lift you above your circumstances or you will be buried beneath them. May God help us to look to him. Like Caleb, we need a different spirit. May God enlarge you. May God enlarge me. Renew a right spirit within me. Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory, Jabez cried. Oh, that you would bless me. Enlarge my territory, Jabez cried. And surely we are coming into that season now, if only we would have faith. Maybe some of us need to tear down some strongholds. Some are forever looking to tear down strongholds in mysterious places and over mysterious walls, but the strongholds are here. May we have faith and belief and trust to tear them down. Hallelujah. We need to connect to God, do we not, through faith. You see, remember the story of David and Goliath. The Israelites saw Goliath as too big to kill. David saw Goliath as too big to miss. So what is in your eye? What are you seeing? David and the Israelites saw the same Goliath. They saw the same giant, but they had different attitudes, a different spirit. Which one are you seeing today? What's in your eye? What's in mine? I remember that last week we concluded by asking what mountains that maybe we should be pursuing that in God's strength need conquering. Perhaps victories over addictions, unforgiveness, gossip, a poverty mentality, to withstand pressure at work. In Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24, we'll start from verse 20. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word, but truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. And this morning we are considering two difficulties Caleb overcame to take the mountain for God. Both are related. The first mountain that Caleb overturned, that he overcame, was that of time, was that of time. The second, and it's related, was old age. A total of 40 years, 40 years elapsed between the day God gave Caleb the promise until he was able to take his mountain for God. 40 years. 38 years had been spent wandering in the desert. That's a long time. Tis a long time. And Caleb was listening to the moans and the groans of the Israelites, his supposed friends. He saw a whole generation perish, die in the desert. He witnessed thousands die in a plague when they grumbled against Moses for bringing them into the wilderness. He saw all this. Possibly, at times, he questioned himself. Was he wasting his time with all this rebellious mob? Maybe he questioned God. I don't know what was in his eye. Well, what we do know is this. Caleb knew that the promise would be fulfilled. Caleb knew that God is faithful. Caleb knew that God is not like man. He cannot lie. We sing of his loving kindness in the morning, his faithfulness at night. Great is your faithfulness. Caleb knew that God kept his word. He walked by faith while the others were gripped with what was happening in the here and now. Mark reminded us Thursday evening that as Caleb and Joshua had got their eyes on Canaan, the promised land, so must we be looking for our reward. You see, we are only here for a short time. God wants to deal with us in mercy and grace so that we enjoy what he has for us here below, so that we can bless others and live by faith despite the challenges. But we're looking unto Jesus, we're looking at the goal of our faith, and we see that he has prepared for those who love him something even greater and more wonderful. Not just a land of physical milk and honey awaits us. Wow, even better. And we will see him face to face. We will reign with him. And our song will be, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. He's worthy to receive all praise, all power, glory, dominion. Power belongs to him. And that should be an incentive for us to walk by faith here below, to live a life pleasing to God, making use of our time. Caleb would have suffered alongside the others. He suffered with them. He had to suffer alongside his peers. But he did not give up. How impatient we can become. Patience, of course, is one of the characteristics the Lord wants to develop in us, doesn't he? Isn't it? It's something that needs developing in me, and it is, but God will help us. And we think of the Romans chapter 5 passage, and when it talks about suffering, and we, if you look at that passage in your leisure, the opening verses of Romans 5, we don't rejoice, we don't joy because of our suffering, we rejoice with joy in them. It's a different mentality. It's a different attitude. Because the Apostle Paul is not advocating us to be morbid, joyless and soulless. No, no. He doesn't advocate a morbid view of life, but a joyful and triumphant one, just like Caleb. Waiting for God is not a waste of time. Now we're constantly, and there's good in this, we're constantly being told to recycle our rubbish, aren't we? And make sure they go in the correct bins, etc. But let me remind you, time can be wasted, but it cannot be recycled. It can't, can never be recycled. What we weave in time, we will wear in eternity. Time is precious. What are we doing? What we weave in time, we will wear in eternity. As Jesus warned us, don't, please, friends, church, don't sleep and allow the enemy to sow tares in your field. Don't. Don't be asleep. It is high time to be awake and to be alert, especially as we see the day approaching of our Lord's return. There's much to be done in his strength. Don't sleep and allow the enemy to sow tears in your field. Tears of unbelief, tears of hardness of heart, tears of seeds of bitterness, seeds of hardness, seeds of wrong attitude, seeds of sin, unconfessed sin. Brother, sister, if we are to protect our anointing, our water of life, our weapons of war, our garments of praise, our harvest, then we must stay awake. We must stay awake. Don't let the enemy mess with your destiny. As shepherd, with the elders, I have a God-given mandate not to let the enemy mess with the destiny of this people here and what God wants to do with this church, despite the challenges, despite a lot of opposition. There's the enemy wanting to discourage and bring us not to our knees, but on our backs with our legs in the air and not able to move. That's a bad analogy, but anyway. All I'm saying, don't let the enemy mess with your destiny. Get on your knees. That's why I had to correct myself, because I was going to, we need to be on our knees, crying to God, believing God, and then getting up full of faith. Glory to his name. We need to redeem the time because we ourselves are redeemed. We need to redeem the time because we ourselves. Time is not a commodity. You know, we go to the shops and our sister, she goes to the shop, she buys two things. She buys one and she buys another. One of those can be stored and put in the freezer. We can take it out later. But you can't do with that with time. You can't do that with time. Time can't be stored and frozen for future use, can it? It must be invested hour by hour, or else it is gone forever. Oh, no wonder we read in Hebrews, let us throw off everything that hinders us, the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with patience, the race that is set before us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, finisher of our faith. If we are to overcome the mountains, if we're to win our battles, our attitude has to be one of confidence and obedience. Obedience. God's gifts have to be received. Hallelujah. Moses brought the Israelites out of Egypt, but it needed Joshua and Caleb to bring them into the promised land, didn't it? Moses brought them out. We are not just saved from something, friends. We are also saved to something. Hallelujah. Joshua, of course, Savior. And we have been saved by our Lord Jesus Christ to something. In other words, don't just get out of Egypt only to stay in the desert. Don't get out of Egypt only then to remain in the wilderness. Doubt, unbelief will always lead you into the wilderness. God can meet us in the wilderness. Praise God for that. Hallelujah. But don't let doubt and unbelief lead you there. Rumbling, complaining, just like the Israelites, will keep you and fill your life with barrenness. Caleb had a different attitude. Look at the results he got. As we read in Joshua and chapter 14, you know, because he was going to take Hebron, the whole works. Joshua. And here we read, Hebron, therefore, because this is the promise. He was going to take Hebron, as we said last week. Hebron, verse 14, therefore became the inheritance of Caleb. It became his inheritance. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly, wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Hebron became his inheritance because he wholly followed the Lord. Hey folks, how is your attitude? How's mine? What is in your eye? What are you seeing? Church, leaders, what are we seeing? Let us stop wasting precious time. Let us, friends, commit before the Lord. Let's stop wasting precious time by living a lifestyle of carelessness, lukewarmness, and instead enjoy the provision of the Lord and the glory of the Christian life. Because without faith, we cannot please God. Which means with faith, you can please God. He delights in us. Wow! I'd rather have the Lord's approbation than the world's. Secondly, lastly, another mountain that Caleb had to overcome to inherit the promise was his age. His age. His age. You see, in our youth-orientated society, it wouldn't be hard to get the impression, I guess, that our usefulness ends at 65 or sooner. And certainly, most people, when they reach 85, have slippers on their Christmas list. Not Caleb. Not Caleb. Oh, no, no, no. Caleb didn't. Not at 85. No way was Caleb going to relax before the Lord. Caleb could not relax when there's ministry to be done and a promise to be fulfilled. Neither can we. Joshua 14, verse 6. Joshua 14, verse 6, page 206. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God." So Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as in the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly, not half-heartedly, not on Sundays only, he wholeheartedly followed the Lord his God. And you notice in verse 6 how the Lord, the Lord's faithfulness to Caleb, because Caleb recalls the Lord's promise made to him some 38 years earlier, when he brought back that good report of the land. Friends, age is no barrier in doing the will of God. God keeps his people alive as long as they need to be in order to fulfill all that God has planned for them. Many of us plan for retirement, but surely, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, our prayers, our desire should be that as long as we have breath and some strength, how can we use those last years so that they are the most productive years of our life? See, incidentally, Joshua was 80 years of age when he received his call to serve as leader. Age is no barrier. Our attitude is. Perhaps our greatest challenge is to shirk from consulting our Lord as to what he wants us to do. Perhaps that's our greatest challenge, that we shirk from consulting the Lord what he wants us to do with our latter years or what he wants to do with our young years. Just he might upset our self-made plans. So we best not consult him. Well, may that not be our attitude. Friends, if your vision, young people, middle-aged and elderly, if your vision for the future doesn't require God, it's not a God. If your vision for tomorrow doesn't involve God, if you've made plans and it doesn't involve God, that dream, that vision, those plans are not of God. Caleb didn't see old age as an obstacle. He saw it as a heaven-sent opportunity. And let me say, friends, and I speak this to myself, don't resent growing old. Don't resent growing old. Many don't have the opportunity. Vera, what does Psalm 92 verse 14 say? They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh, fat, flourishing, fresh and green, full of sap, fertile, vigorous. That's the promise of the Lord. And we've got some examples of that here. No wonder Isaiah says, even to old age, I will sustain you. There's still land to conquer. And we need you older Christians to show us wisdom. We want to observe your example. We need your prayers. We need to understand something of the wealth of your experience. Listen, the flame has not gone out yet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Remember creation? Remember creation? It's wonderful what God can do in one day, isn't it? So give him all of the days you have left. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May God help us. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray as we conclude with some worship and response to the Lord. Do help us, O Father, to have that and learn some lessons from what we read in your word. Lord, give me that attitude, that different spirit that Caleb had, that I will be different from the rest. When others see obstacles, hindrances, problems, may I see challenges that can be overcome in your strength, because I see God and not the mountain. Lord, you know the challenges that individuals have in this congregation personally. So easy for us to take our eyes off from you, Lord. But you will help us. We determine, Lord, to be men, women, boys and girls of faith. Thank you, Lord, for your word, because we know that faith comes from from hearing your word. Help us to redeem the time, Lord. For we are redeemed. Redeem the time. We know the days are evil. So let us redeem the time. Make good use of our time. And those, Lord, who are elderly among us, I thank you for them. And I thank you, O God, that they have a wealth of experience. They may look back and see some failures, but they see the God who wrapped his everlasting arms around them and underneath them and has carried them through, that they stepped out from the boat. They proved God is able. Thank you, O God, and thank you that they are continuing to serve you with the strength you give them. Thank you, O God, that your promises are good, that they will be fruitful, that they will continue to be fertile, vigorous for Jesus. May we help lighten their load because we're willing to take up the baton for Jesus and for the sake of the lost. Hear us, we pray. Amen.